5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the 2 Minute Drill.
Welcome back to our Super Bowl edition of 2 Minute Drill. I am Pierce. I'm joined by Scott. Welcome, my brother. It's good to do another Super Bowl with you. A unique matchup. We got the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes.
Like, who would have thought, like, you know, 10 years ago, LA would have a team that would have been to 2 Super Bowls by now.
Yep.
That's one of 2 teams in the same city that is getting a Super Bowl in this beautiful new stadium in Inglewood, which, you know, you've gotten to visit. It's very nice.
Beautiful stadium, the best stadium. I've been to a lot of stadiums over the last 5 months, and I thought Allegiant was nice, but Allegiant looked like the projects compared to SoFi. Like, it's another level. I always said SoFi is like a day party with a football field. Like, I literally forgot there was a game going on multiple times. This is for a Chargers game, so I can only imagine what it's
it's a charge. Of course, it's other shit going on. It's a fucking charge game.
Well, even Pav went to a Rams game. He told me before I went, he said, "Yeah, man, it's just like a fucking party." You know what I'm saying? Niggas just like to kick it. But, you know, it's a nice stadium. And what Roger Goodell said in his press conference, they're gonna be hosting multiple Super Bowls and so far. I think I heard something that they're gonna be.
It's no debate.
Yeah, they're gonna be doing Super Bowls all the time.
They used to do Super Bowls all the time when, like, the Rose Bowl, when it was cool to hold at the Rose Bowl. So it's been a while. I want to say this is the first Super Bowl in the L.A. area since 94.
Since 92. It was Pasadena.
Pasadena in 92. Yeah. So they only, like, the rotation of the Super Bowl, you know the rotation of the Super Bowl. It's usually New Orleans, which has had it 10 times. Miami, which is some like 10.
Phoenix.
LA's now in there. Mm-hmm. Phoenix is in there. Houston. Dallas finally got on there with Jerry Rule, but I think they've only done one at Jerry Rule.
Vegas is going to be in there a lot.
Is going to be in there a lot. So those are like the 8 that are locked in because they're in warm weather cities and they have a dome and you really get to do whatever. Atlanta, too. I'm sorry. Atlanta.
Atlanta's
a very popular spot and they got a new stadium. Yeah. So really, like, and I was watching a video, I want to say it was TPS Sports on YouTube, of just like the cities that are never getting Super Bowls. And it's all cold weather climate, don't have a dome. Like, you can get away with it if you're Minnesota and you build this nice new stadium. Yeah. Or if you're Indianapolis, you have the stadiums, you have the hotels.
I still don't think either one of them getting it again.
But Indianapolis will get it again for sure. I think Minnesota will only because
when was the last time Indianapolis had a Super Bowl?
I want to say their last one was 2012. Eli and Eli hitting the Manningham and them beating Brady again. Yeah. Minnesota will probably get it just because the stadium is so nice. But like Buffalo,
I think the Bears
when Buffalo gets the new stadium, Buffalo's never getting it. Chicago has to build the new stadium to get it. Philadelphia, the link is really nice, so they're not building a new stadium 20 years after they built the link.
Yeah, of course, just to
get a Super Bowl. So that's dead. New York's never getting one again because they lucked out on it not raining or snowing or having a fucking blizzard. It was like 40 something and beautiful when Russ went in there and just drove it all through all the Broncos. But like it makes me excited for like when we actually do get the new stadium and like, yeah, it sucks. It's going to be in Arlington Heights. I get it. Cool. I don't live there no more. So whatever. You know, it's going to bring so much to Chicago and just think about what a Chicago Super Bowl would feel like, whether the sorry ass team on the lake is there or whether they're not. It's going
to
be,
and a lot of events will still be in Chicago.
None of us are going. I mean, we are going to try to be at the Super Bowl. We ain't going to pay, but like, it's not about that. You know, it's about the fun that comes with, like, you got to do what, the Super Bowl experience the other day.
Yeah.
Like, how cool is having like those little roving museums that come through and you get the history of the NFL.
It was dope. One thing I will say, that Super Bowl experience made me happy I don't have kids. Oh, hey. I had kids. I was there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Me and Damien, we were there for an hour and a half, 2 hours before we got drunk and watched the Lakers go to overtime with the fucking Knicks. But yeah, I mean, it just made me happy I didn't have kids, because I'd have to wait in them long ass lines all fucking day. Like the line just to see the Lombardi Trophy was 2 hours. But you know, it was fun to see all that stuff there. We saw like all the Hall of Fame busts, every Super Bowl ring from every champion ever. It was cool. It was just cool to see that. I haven't been to like a fan event like that since the All-Star game. The MLB All-Star game was at USA Cellular Field back in 2003. That was the last time I've been to one of those little fan events. But it was fun, though. It was fun. And that was downtown. And, you know, that's that kind of fun thing that you see that comes with the Super Bowl being in your city.
Yeah, man. Hopefully one day we get to experience it. It'll be very fucking dope. But
hopefully one day. I'm calling it to existence. Next year, Barber's Shed Network is going to be a radio row at the Super Bowl.
In Arizona.
I'm already packing my bags.
Yeah, I could use some Scottsdale in my life, you know. But a man who has been to so many Super Bowls, more Super Bowls than anybody in history, has won more Super Bowls than anybody in history, finally called it an end. Than any franchise in history. He finally called it a career. Tom Brady decided at 45 after 22 seasons, I want to say. Yep. He is going to go home to his beautiful, gorgeous, rich wife and his kids and hang up his cleats and go do some other shit, sell some NFTs or whatever. See, I have the, you know, I really didn't start liking Tom Brady until he got of age. And, you know, he really showed what he could do in the later stage of his career. You've been a fan of Tom Brady the entire time. And it's kind of like Bonds. You know, Bonds has two separate careers. You could mar the second one with the steroid talk. I understand it. But you could separate his two careers.
Yeah.
And both of them are Hall of Famers. You could do it with Mike. Granted, you could say, yeah, 3 years is very small time, but you could separate Mike's career and say, yo, first half, second half, both Hall of Famers. Tom's second act is arguably greater than the first half, just because it's so like ridiculous what he is able to do once he hits his mid to late 30s and then onward, and then, you know, just even past that. You know, the way that we, you know, admire Kobe for being the leader that he is, Tom Brady's that on the football field. You know, being able to drown out all the negative noise, all the outside shit, and in multiple instances, you know, whether it was Deflategate or Aaron Hernandez or whatever, and just rally the team around and focus on winning. Like, that's what Tom Brady's legacy is to me. Greatest of all time in a football sense. We finally have like a straightaway, you know, undeniable GOAT in the NFL. And yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what he ends up doing, man, because he could just sell the NFTs and get paid. You know, he could do kind of like a Manning cast. I would be totally interested in the Manning cast, or he could kind of do what Manning is already doing, that's, you know, just producing content. But whatever, yeah, he does, man, it's gonna be interesting to see what his third act is like.
Yeah, I think Brady's going to, you know, develop the Brady brand, as we've been seeing and he's been doing. Getting more with the TB12 method, things of that nature. I don't think we're going to see a lot of him on TV. Like, you know, you see a lot of Peyton Manning. Peyton, you know, has the Manning cast. Peyton had that show he did with ESPN, which is real fun. Peyton's Places. He's done, you know, he's been on Saturday Night Live. I don't think you're going to see Tom do all of that things. Like, you'll know he's around, but he's not going to be on TV. I think he's going to go more into just the strictly business type of, you know, era for him. But, you know, we always saw a couple, like yesterday, all the news reports, like, he's coming back already. I'm like, this is a non story to me. You know, he's been to career for a week and is like, you know, I'm tired of these kids and you know, and my wife already. He might just been like, man, I'm just gonna flirt with it. But I think he's done for real. I don't think he's coming back. But you know, it's just, I had a feeling, I was saying this since midseason, that I just felt like this was gonna be his last season. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then actually when I was watching Man in the Arena, I was even more convinced. He just sounded like a guy who was content with his career. Even the episodes where they were talking about his Super Bowl losses, like, he was just like, well, you
I mean,
know,
it's also very obvious, like, once he, like, we were hoping he stayed, but honestly, once he started being out in you know, being out more on the forefront, and he's on the cover of Madden with Patrick Mahomes, and he's doing Subway commercials, and everything really sounded like, yeah, I'm enjoying this last year, maybe two, and then I'm a dip. Right. So, like, even when the rumors started popping up, it was like, oh, no, I'm like, it, people want to take it seriously because, like, oh, will he retire? But, like, you really got to start taking it seriously because, like, what we've seen after that seventh ring is such a different Tom Brady than what we used to seeing. Like, you say, like, he doesn't seem like the person that's going to do TV. He's changed tremendously, you know, over the last year to the point where, like, it feels like he's embracing the other side of football that is not – oh, Ed Donatell is a favorite for Vikings defensive coordinator. I hope he gets that one. He seemed like he was embracing the not-so-serious side of football. Like, I think he talked about it one of those first three episodes, A Man in the Arena, with Belichick, and just, you know, how drilled in you have to be in order to win. And finally, like, yo, he done it just outside of that. And it seemed like he was enjoying football more now, less of a serious game that was about winning. Yeah, you want to go out there and win, but just having fun with it. It just seemed like, yeah, this is probably going to be it for Tom.
Yeah, that's the same feel. I still would be shocked if he's, like, you know, commentating or doing things that.
I don't think he's going to be commentating. Like, Manning Cast would be the most that I think he would even consider.
Yeah. But, you know, salute to him, man. I that's why when I started to get, like, a hint of it, I was appreciating each game I was watching. It's going to be weird to watch NFL season without Tom Brady. Like, mm-hmm. All I know in my football watching life is Tom Brady. Like, the first Super Bowl party I ever had was when they beat the Rams in 2001. You know what I'm saying? I was in seventh grade. So it's like, I remember all of these things. So it's going to be weird. But at the same time, I think he knew that, you know, I don't want none of this young nigga smoke that's coming from the AFC right now. You know what I'm saying? Everything they got going on right now. Let me just get my way out. You know, it's a little different from the New England situation, considering his last pass this time was, you know, his last touchdown pass was in the game. So him losing wasn't because of him. You know, in New England, he threw that pick six. You know what I'm saying? You knew he wasn't going to end his career on a fucking pick six, man. But salute to Brady, he's the GOAT. I don't think any of them records are getting broken for at least not in my lifetime. It's going to take a lot to be able to touch those records that he got.
I mean, I think Mahomes can definitely touch them. There's gonna be some guys that could touch those yards, touchdowns.
I think comes into play. There's a lot of things that's gonna come into factor.
I mean, but, like, yo, look at Drew Brees. Drew Brees was able to fucking accumulate all those yards, and, like, Drew Brees was he had the injury, but he ended up getting back healthy. And I think, like, the way the game trended, it's just like the ascension from what Unitas is able to do. Finally, now you have Marino being able to match that and eclipse that, and then you get to the present day. First it was Manning, then it was Brees, and it was Brady. So eventually, as time progresses in offense becomes more of a focal point, I gotta believe that of this current crop, we could see Mahomes challenge that. We could see Josh Allen challenge it. Rodgers can still challenge it, because Rodgers could probably play for another 8.
Well, I mean,
years.
You think he can play that long?
I mean, not 8 to 10. He's 37, I want to say.
Yeah, he's 37.
I'm acting like he's 35. Yeah, he could play another 6-7 years.
Well, I mean, from the young crop. You know, Rodgers still has had, like, 13 years to build up on that. So, I'm saying, like, as far as, like, the young dudes to take it, I don't know if I'm going to see. I mean, they'll have a chance, obviously, because it's a different offensive game than, you know, decade ago or whatever. I just don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. A lot of things come to the fact of health. You got to hope you stay healthy. You know, what kind of teams you got. You know, it's going to be them type of things. So we'll see. You know, with this offense, yeah, they have a chance. I just don't personally think I'm going to see it in my lifetime.
All right. Spoken like a true Tom Brady fan. Well, congrats, GOAT. We wish you the best in everything you do after this. I'll be looking forward to it most definitely. It's current. This old crap is finally gone. It's like the Hell in a Cell match in 2012 with Taker and Shawn Michaels and or Taker and Triple H, and Shawn Michaels was the special guest referee. The end of an era that wasn't really an end of an era. You saw this nigga talking about yeah, no, never say never. All right, man. All right. Giselle gonna feel so fucking tired of this, Giselle. I feel it. let's go to more serious stuff within the NFL. We weren't able to talk about it last week because we didn't meet, but a week ago, Brian Flores, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, sued the NFL along with the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Denver Broncos. He accused Dolphins owner Stephen Ross of offering to pay him to lose games back when they were tanking. He chose not to tank and won a little bit too much, showed a little bit too much, you know, good play out there in Miami. So he got fired. And he also claims that his interviews with the Giants, who have never hired a black head coach and have only had one black quarterback in team history, and also the Denver Broncos of improper interview handlings, abusing the Rooney Rule, so to speak. It's obviously serious, and it's something that we've always known as, like, continued on. So it's not a shock to us. It's just, it's good to finally see somebody, like, actually put their job status on the line, their future on the line, to hopefully put forth some change in the way that the owners do business. Because it's going to be hard. It ain't like Roger Goodell could just up and do some shit. Roger Goodell's not in control of the NFL. He's just commissioner working for the owners. You know, at the end of the day, something's going to have to happen to affect change amongst the owners. And if Brian Flores, if he doesn't win the suit, but he affects change, I think it's going to be a win.
I mean, like I said on my show last week, I feel like he's just kind of like fed up. I feel like he's upset and embarrassed, especially with the Bill Belichick text, which, you know, I still think that's the funniest part of this whole fucking story. You know, Bill just being an old nigga and not in separating, not putting names. We have two people the same name in your phone, which was the funny part to me. But, you know, to me, it's like, I commend him. I commend his bravery. I commend him saying, you know, I just want to go out there, you know, and make change, you know, prove a point. Even if he knows that his coaching, his head coach career in the NFL is 9 times out of 10 over. And once I saw that he accepted that, and I feel like the interview he had last week on Get Up with Greeny was really opened my eyes a lot to more what he was saying. You know what I'm saying? I always wanted to hear what he wanted, what he was trying to say. Like, my biggest thing with Cap, probably, like, we never knew what his point was sometimes, because sometimes you didn't hear him speak. So I was hearing what Brian Flores said, and I kind of got, like, a better kind of, you know, what his end game was, pretty much. So, you know, more power to him. You know what I'm saying? I don't really think nothing's going to change until we actually, you know, the black people are letting to the owner's circle. That's, to me, when things will change. And because we all know the NFL is just, you know, the good old boys game. And we got these old rich white men in these owner circles. Until we can get some of our people into these circles, I don't think that shit's going to change, you know. But I'm more proud to them. I'm behind them on that one. I'm not one of these people who are going to boycott. You know, I've seen some people say, y'all still watching NFL? Like I said on my show, there's nothing that's going to stop me from watching NFL. It's just, I don't think one thing that happens is going to make me stop watching football.
But I don't think, like, stopping, you know, ceasing watching the NFL is going to affect change. I don't think it does anything, because it's like, you know, the only thing it does is the NFL owners are going to bitch and complain about 5% lost revenue, which they're always going to bitch and complain about a little bit of change. But my loss isn't going to be that massive to where it truly affects anything.
Right.
So it does nothing. I'm really just ruining myself because I love the game of football, and I'm not even watching the game of football for some silly ass, I'm not saying it's a silly ass reason, but it's not going about the thing the right
way. It's not silly. It's just, it's like, I don't.
It's not going about it in the right way.
I'm trying to put this in the most political way, but I really don't give a shit. Like, if I got to be completely honest, I just don't care, bro. Look, more power to them. We know the NFL's right. We know white people are racist. Like, nothing about any of these topics shock me It is what it is at this particular point. But for anybody who says, fuck this shit and I'm going to fight against the system, I fuck with y'all. I appreciate y'all. I'm behind y'all 100%. I'm not that type of nigga. But I 100% support the people who that is their calling. So to me, what I got from Brian Flores is like, I don't give a shit that I'm not going to be coaching the NFL anymore. I don't care. This type of shit got to stop. And even if it doesn't help me out, it'll help the next generation of black coaches. And I can 100%
support that. And honestly, it's not like Brian Flores is not going to coach football ever again. Because I think Brian Flores, no matter if he coaches in the NFL again, he going to find some suitors in college. Especially, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm saying the NFL.
Yeah, but I'm saying especially HBCU game, which is massively growing. If you look at what Deion is doing at Jackson State and getting people to buy in and getting top recruits to buy into Jackson State, I fully believe Brian Flores can die for the NFL cause, and it still be good himself. And that's like essentially what matters. Like, unfortunately, Cap had no other avenue. Like, once you're done playing the NFL, you're not playing anywhere. Yeah. You could go to the CFL, but it's the fucking CFL. You're going really just out of spite. You're not going because, you know, you want to be there. Whereas, you know, Brian Flores really does have some fallback options, whether or not he coaches in the NFL or not. So, you know, yo, kudos to you. Get it done. No matter how you get it done, I appreciate you for doing it. You know? In that, we had multiple head coaching hires. All nine positions are filled now, including our Matt Eberflus in Chicago. We'll talk about the Bears in a little bit. But also hired are now two multiracial head coaches. we got my man Mike McDaniel.
We know him, yeah, but who's the other one?
Are you kidding me?
Multiracial
Santa. I mean, he's not multiracial, he's black, but
oh, okay. You said multiracial. I was like, who's other?
I gotta quantify him as multiracial. Minority. Minority head coaches. I apologize. Minority head coaches. That makes five minority head coaches now. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, you really gotta talk about logic. I hope he does well because he seems like he's an interesting dude. He seems like he's a funny ass dude.
He's a big part of that running game they had in San Francisco. I have no problem with the hire. I actually he's one of my list to be Bears offensive coordinator, but then I realized that you couldn't, if you're gonna leave another team, you gotta get like a higher position or some shit, whatever, without giving up draft picks. But I think it's a good hire. I don't have a problem with either hire. This is my issue with both hires. It's not the hire, it's the optics behind it. Like, you know, the minute that Mike got hired, multiracial, every NFL media person is biracial.
Schefter had to make it's halfway they had to make it known, but then also halfway they had to make it known, because if they don't make it known, multiracial people will be up in fits.
Yes, yeah,
we could say that.
I had something real problematic to say with Saint Summer Sessions.
I mean, exactly. That's about the furthest extent I can go with that one.
Right, that's the best political way I can say that. But so I think both though definitely qualify. I mean, you know, they're both qualified for the job. The same thing, like I said about Lovey, I am ecstatic. Lovey got another opportunity. I just didn't want that shit to be here. I'm ecstatic he got another opportunity. If there's anybody who's qualified. He's the second best. I mean, he's the best Bears coach, you know, in my lifetime. Ditka. You know, Ditka won 3 years before I was born. So in my lifetime, Lovey's it. As far as Chicago,
you'd probably Bears say coaches, you can easily say he's the third best Bears coach. Third of best. All time.
Oh, period. Yeah, it's Hallis, it's Ditka and him. So by far. So and you know, you got to give him credit for that. He's definitely earned it. It's the same thing. The optics, the Texans got in hot water. They're like, oh, let's hire us a minority coach. We entered Lovey a long time ago and weren't even considering him, but now let's do that. So it's like, it's not a problem I have with the hire, it's just the bullshit surrounding it. But at the same time, I'd rather have these two black men hired than to not have them hired at all. So that's my take on it.
Two black men hired,
and losing one job. To the fullest when it comes to Mike McDaniel.
Exactly. I will say this on Mike McDaniel. Like, there is a point to, you have to have every shade at the table. So, with that being said, congratulations. Please don't be a head ass. With Lovey, And it's clear and obvious, you know, when it comes to Lovie Smith, that he was never, you know, truly a target.
Yeah.
And they really wish that they could take back being able to fire David Culley, which, you know, in hindsight, they shouldn't have fired David Culley, because he really did get them to, it's a miracle he got them to win four games. There was a point in the season earlier when you asked me and Joe, who's worse between the Lions and the Texans. And still, it's the Texans. Mm-hmm. But the Texans wound up winning, I think, more games than the Lions. Just because, you know, Culley was able to get the most out of Davis Mills, shockingly. You know, he had him going. And, you know, to fire him and then wind up with Lovie seems like a lateral move. You're not going anywhere. Unfortunately, really fortunately, I guess you could say, to transition to the, hopefully, what we hope is a good out of this. Lovie's going to get more than 1 year. They're not going to fire Bill O'Brien after giving him a contract and having to pay him, then firing Culley and having to pay him, and then fire Lovie after a season and have to pay him. So Lovie's going to get more than one year. And, you know, I hope that for Lovie's sake, he sees this opportunity. He knows, like, yo, my back's against the wall. They don't want me to win. They don't expect for me to win here. Let's go out and let's coach the shit out of these boys and let's go win some football games, because the AFC South is very poo-poo. You know, I don't think there's a coach in football I'm going to be rooting for more next year, especially after the struggles he had the end of his Chicago tenure. He never had a fucking team in Tampa Bay. His quarterback was Mike Glennon. He inherited Mike Glennon, godly. Then he goes off to U of I. He's having a really good season with U of I. He's able to get him to a bowl game, and then COVID happens. And then the next year, the Big Ten is just an absolute mess, and they fire him. He's never had a quarterback. Say whatever you want about Jay Cutler. I don't care. Lovie Smith's never had a quarterback. You don't have a quarterback now.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But I think the trajectory of Lovie would be much different if he did. And I'm hoping that if you give him opportunity to coach up, you know, coach up the defense, he's got Pep as his OC. If they're able to stumble upon a quarterback, and hopefully this changes how Lovie Smith's career is viewed, I guess. You know, I would love to see some, you know, Lovie to shock some folks and kind of turn this whole situation up on his edge. You know, you didn't want me initially. You hired me to kind of, you know, get the heat off of you after the Flores situation. Nobody expects me to go in here and win and stay. They expect Josh McCown to come in here and take my job. I bet.
They wanted to hire him so bad, by the way.
Which is wild, because he's never been a fucking hit. And respected Josh McCown. Like,
he really says
Josh McCown was in the last couple of years in football. Motherfuckers are saying, like, yeah, he could be a coach one day, but go through the proper channels of being a head coach.
Right.
This ain't like fucking Ryan Sandberg, Robin Ventura, when you can just jump to being a major league head coach. It ain't that. You gotta go through the same hoops that a lot of these black coaches are fucking going through.
So, I agree. I agree.
Where am I at? I don't have my thing up. Oh, yeah. Bears hired Ryan Poles as a new general manager. Matt Eberflus is new head coach. You can learn all about that. And then listen to Poles and Eberflus on the Saturday Night the House podcast. Now, there's going to be a lot of turnover with this team as we head into a new year with a new regime. A lot of change. We're likely going to be seeing some shocking cuts, I can imagine. But, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully it's all in an attempt to get this team back to relevancy a lot sooner than we hope. I guess my question to you is, what do you think is the biggest decision on the roster that they have to make this season? Because they're going to be working with different schemes, player-wise, because they're going to be working with different schemes. You know, some guys might not fit a particular scheme. You might want to upgrade at certain positions. Some dude stunk last year looking at you offensive line. What do you think is the biggest thing to address roster-wise?
I think it's hands down offensive line. I mean, this team's got a lot of holes. I see a lot of Bears fans out there saying, we're not that far. Yeah, the fuck we are.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah, there was bad coaching, but this is a team that has a lot of holes on it. And I don't know. I said this on 7 at the Hallis last week when we had Jason Leisure on. I think everybody should go listen to Bill Polian's interview on Waddle and Sylvie from last week. Gave a nice insight into the process and made me even more confident about the process that they went through. And he said that, you know, he looked at the whole roster before they began the GM and the coaching process. And he also explained why they were interviewing coaches before they hired a GM, which made a lot of sense to me. So I would check that out too. But he said he looked at the whole roster and he said that there was like 3 or 4 glue guys on this roster on the Bears right now. And he said to win a championship, to be a legit contender, you got to have 10 to 12. And I really agree with that. And so that's like a big problem. Of course, wide receiver, you need your Jamar Chase or your T. Higgins or your Cooper Kupp. You need that. We need to find that in the draft. You know, as much as I like Darnell Mooney, I think his ceiling is a number 2.
Right.
So I think they got to find that. But offensive line is the number one thing they got to solve. They have got to keep Justin Fields upright, especially because Justin is a mobile quarterback. So they need to get that. And that's one thing that Ryan Poles has hammered into the opening press conference, into every interview he's done. Even when Flo was talking to him, my brother talked to him, he asked him about the offensive line. And he told my brother that one thing that really pissed him off was when he was looking at footage from this past season, how many times Justin got hit and the offensive line didn't do anything. How we was talking about that, how Fetty got mad at was it Jenkins he got mad at?
Yeah.
And so he said that type of shit pissed him off. And so I think offensive line is going to be the number one thing he's going to hammer at, especially he's a former offensive lineman. But I think that's the number one. I think the a close second will probably be wide receiver. Because, like you said, we need that guy to pair up with Justin. But even if you have the wide receiver, if he's getting slammed on his ass all the damn time, you're risking his health, and it's not going to help. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are here in spite of their offensive line.
Right.
No matter if they win a championship or not this Sunday, they got to fix that this offseason, too. So
The Chiefs' offensive line has been one of their biggest liabilities. They were the number one liability last year in the Super Bowl, and you know, we permanently talk about them, Super Bowl contenders, championship contenders. You can win with a sorry O-line, but imagine what you can do with a great O-line or even a half-decent offensive line. And if the rest of the offense for the Bears can coalesce, and, you know, now, you know, season 2, Justin's moving, if he can stay upright, the possibilities are fucking endless. Like, yep. we're looking at a guy in Joe Burrow who's in his second season, already in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, there's no excuse why Justin can't get to the Super Bowl next year. Not saying that he will,
but you absolutely can
make a Super Bowl next year. Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, if he's not standing upright, if he's continuing to get hit, if he doesn't have time in the pocket, ain't no way in hell that Stevens even, you know, pushing him for the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think really a lot of this, what this team can do, and I know a lot of Bears fans don't like to hear this, but it's true. It really depends on what Mr. 12's decision is going to be.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's damn true.
It's damn true. And I think that he said he's going to make a decision before free agency. So that means we got about a month. And so if he decides to stay, I think you can take a little more time, you know what I'm saying, to fully flesh this thing out. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, let him.
Fans are going to have to give them the grace to.
Yeah, give them the grace that you're not beat. Let Aaron have these last, 4 or 5 years, whatever he's going to have in Green Bay, and you have time to fully. Now, that don't mean you can't compete. That don't even mean you can't win a division. I'm not saying that. But if Aaron leaves, that speeds up the process now.
Right.
Because now you're in a division where your biggest threat is Kirk Cousins. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I still think right now, if we were to compare the Vikings and the Bears, the Vikings are a better team.
Oh, for sure.
Your biggest threat are the Kirk Cousins led Vikings, which can definitely be had. Yeah. And a Lions team that's still trying to like climb in, but you don't want them to start like making footsteps.
I'll say this about the Detroit Lions. Until they actually do it, I'll believe when I see it.
Well, I guess they'd have to win a playoff game for them for that to happen.
As long as Jared Goff was employed, I think I'm fine. I think I'm fine as long as Jared Goff. But
it all on Jared Goff is fair because look at where the team that fired Jared Goff is at.
Exactly. And I agree with you, the Vikings. I think if Aaron does win, they will and should be the favorites. I'm just saying Kirk Cousins is Kirk motherfucking Cousins. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely agree with what you're saying about that.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess besides the offensive line, which would be my answer too, but if I had to find like a second position of absolute need, and you know, for me, it made no sense to go into the season last year and Jalen Johnson was your only cornerback. And that was a position that really hurt the hell out of you last year, that you did not have a cornerback that could step up on the other side of Jalen. And even when Jalen was hurt, you were toast. I can't see Kendall Vildor at cornerback next year.
No.
I can't see I'm blanking on folks' names, but God, he was horrible. I need some new blood in there, whether Duke it's the draft. Who?
Duke Shelley.
Duke Shelley plays well on special teams. So I don't want to see him out there on defense, though. I don't want to see Duke Shelley out there on defense.
I said this on the episode on them 792. Like, I'm not saying that Thomas Graham is going to be anything. I'm not going to be that Bears fan who gets hyped about three games. But yeah, we still don't know what we have in them because of bad roster evaluation from last year.
100%. But, like, you can't – like, we can't sit here and, like, say, like, okay, Thomas Graham, you're in our number two. Thomas Graham needs to be viewed as a Duke Shelley, maybe, a prospect that if he gets some playing time, hopefully he's gotten the coaching to come up. He's depth. Thomas Graham is depth, and that's good depth to have. But you guys they need to target some guys in the draft that can be depth or hit. And they also need to go out and shoot for some corners in free agency. Yep. I would love if they could find the money for JC Jackson from the Patriots.
Yep. The Bears got a decent amount of money to spend this offseason.
They got a decent amount of money to spend, but they also got a lot of areas in need.
Yeah, and that's why I 100% expect them to trade back in the draft. They only have 5 draft picks. I think they're going to trade
back. Yeah, they got to trade back. They 100% got to trade back. So I'm not, like, bagging on them to use that first-round pick or to trade up and maybe get a Chris Olave or something like that. I'm not banking on that. They need to – make a smart move with these draft picks and trading back to get more assets. To me, is how you do that. But like, if you go and drop money on anybody, and I know like Bears fans really want Davante Adams, I don't see it happening because I think the Packers are going to tag him no matter what. The guy I want them to throw money at the most is JC Jackson, because I think if you get him across from Jalen Johnson, you got your anchors in the secondary. Hopefully, Eddie plays a lot better.
So you think they franchise him even if Rodgers leaves, because they are in cap?
I would, because then you just trade him.
That's a good point.
It's better than just letting them go for the free. I'd rather do that than I would rather the Packers just fucking suck.
I'm with you.
No.
A Packers loss is just as good as a Bears win in my book. I don't care what nobody says.
A 0-17 Packers season might be the end of racism in my eyes. 100% on that. I was going to talk Super Bowl props to Joe, but Joe is not here. So I guess we could just move on to the game this Sunday. Super Bowl, I don't know, 56? Super Bowl 56, yes. Like we said, in L.A., the host team, the L.A. Rams, and the Cincinnati Bengals back for the first time since there's John Candy game. We got old versus new. We got former first round or former number one pick quarterbacks going up against each other in the draft. And actually the funny thing about that, the first time that happened was Cam versus Peyton.
Yep.
But then there was also number one versus number two in that one with Cam versus Vaughn. And Vaughn beat that ass. But we got number ones versus number ones here. And guess who's on the other side of number one, Joe Burrow? Von Miller. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a real good game, man. I want to say the line's at 4.5 the last time I checked in favor of the Rams. Rams are obviously, you know, going to be a lot of folks' picks, and it's completely understandable why. It's something about the Bengals and something about Joe Burrow that just feels special.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth with this for literally since we got the matchup almost 2 weeks ago, and I didn't make my final decision until last night. I'm going to pick the Rams. Now, I love the story of Joe Burrow. I do think, you know, the pressure is 100% on the Rams. I don't think there's any pressure for the Bengals. I won't say it's any pressure to the Super Bowl. So, of course, if you lose, you know your season's over. And, you know, you don't want to fuck Super Bowl. You don't know when you're going to be back. But there's so many storylines for the Rams. You know, can Matthew Stafford finally get, you know, the monkey off his back? Because, yeah, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, he's answered our questions. Like I've been saying all season, he hasn't yet. Because Jared Goff, you know, whether it was him or not, still got the team to the Super Bowl. So, for me to fully say that draft, that pick, those trades were worth it, you have to win the whole thing. You know, let's lead to somebody who don't give a fuck about draft picks, which I honor. I have no problem with just throwing money at your biggest problem. I wish more owners did that. But he has to win the whole thing. So there's pressure on Matthew Stafford. There's pressure on Odell Beckham. You know what I'm saying? All these teams. And there's pressure on Sean McVay. It's the second time you've been to the Super Bowl. You know, the first time, you kind of get a pass. You know, you lost to fucking Tom Brady. It's really no shame in losing to Tom Brady.
I feel like you don't get a. I feel like you don't get a pass for losing.
I'm not saying you get a pass. I'm saying compared
putting
to this.
Putting 3 points in a Super
I'm not
Bowl.
Saying you get a. I'm not saying you get a pass. I'm saying compared to this, though, is what I'm saying. You can explain to me losing to Tom Brady. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying you get a pass for losing the Super Bowl. But I can understand that. You know, so this is like it's your second time. So now it's put up a shut up time. So there's a lot of, you know, can this experiment that the Rams are doing because they built this team in the complete opposite on how you build teams. Is this experiment going to pay off? So there's a lot of, and they're at home. And I love what Michael Irvin said on Rich Eisen this week. He said the same shit last year with the Bucks. You can't lose the Super Bowl at your crib. You just can't. That's what's going to fuck with you forever. So you got that pressure. Nobody on God's green earth expected the Bengals to be it. I don't even think the Bengals expected to be it. So that is they're kind of playing with house money, as much house money as you can play being in a Super Bowl. So to me, that's going to
I'm sticking my hand up and waving it for a reason.
When did you didn't pick the Bengals being a Super Bowl?
Remember towards the end of the season, we picked dark horses.
We have to probably
in
go
AFC
back
and NFC. We picked dark horses in the AFC and NFC to be contenders and make.
And that was your dark horse.
And in the NFC, I had the 49ers. In the NFC, in the AFC, I had the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, well, I give you props on
so
that.
So I will say that I did expect the Cincinnati Bengals to have a shot to be here.
Well, 99.9% of people did not pick the Bengals to be it, and I didn't pick them in any fucking game this fucking playoffs. I picked against them every fucking playoffs, and I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan, so I would love nothing more for him in a way. I'm actually going to be partially rooting for him. The other reason I won't be rooting for him, I will tell you when we get off air. But I will hope it'll be cool to see him win. But the Rams, to me, they have the better team. You know, they have the better offensive weapons. Their margin for error to me is greater than Cincinnati, even though I think the number one thing that I've been watching after all these Super Bowl previews that really nobody's talking about is this Cincinnati defense. It's pretty solid. I mean, this is a defense to help Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense 3 points in the second half and in overtime. So they can get the job done. And as we saw the NFC Championship game, Stafford gave the Niners the game. The Niners just didn't want to take it. It was literally in Tart's hands. So he's definitely due for one of those type things. But the offensive line has scared me every week. And yes, I know he got sacked 9 times and he lived to tell the story. But Von Miller, motherfucking Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, them ain't them niggas in Tennessee. So that's the thing that scares me the most. And I feel like Jamar Chase is going to be taken out of this game because of Jalen. I feel like it's going to have him on the island. And I just feel like better team, that the Rams are the better team. But I will say this, though. The Rams need to get them out of there early. If this is the longer this game is close, the more it tips in the favor of Cincinnati because Joe Burrow is just a guy you don't want to have him close. And even if it's not, like, Cincinnati's also a team that you can't really – they came back from 21-3 last week. So this is a team that they have a shot. I just feel like from my football mind, I would have to give the edge to the Rams.
I think LA Rams are the better football team. They are the better offense. Cooper Kupp has really put on one of the greatest seasons of a wide receiver ever. I got counted the other day how many 100-yard receiving games he's had this season plus postseason. You want to take a guess?
I have no idea.
Just take a guess.
We only play like – I'm gonna say every game he's played in playoffs, he's had one.
No. I said including the playoffs this season.
Including the playoffs. 100-yard receiving games.
Yes.
So that's, 21 games he's played?
20. 17 plus 3, 20.
I'm going to say 14.
Close, 13.
Okay.
1,300 yard receiving games this season for Cooper Kupp. He's been fucking outstanding. He's made Matthew Stafford's job a lot easier. I think it's actually pretty crazy. I don't think anybody's ever like mentioned like the top two receiving seasons in history. I believe Cooper Kupp's number two, but the top two, both Matthew Stafford's been both of their quarterbacks. So we know he's going to hit Cooper Kupp a lot. That's going to free up Odell, make Odell's job a lot easier. Defense fucking goes all over the field. I fully expect Von Miller to wreak havoc, because if you remember what Von Miller did his first time in the Super Bowl, and he Cam Newton was never able to get a rhythm because Von Miller was there on breathing down his neck every single play. He had 7 sacks in his last 7 games, including the playoffs. So he's gonna be rocking and raring. Aaron Donald is his Hall of Fame class. He's going to be eating up the middle of that offensive line. So when you have both of those dudes, it makes it so easier, you know, defensively. So that's going to help Jalen out a lot too. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams because I think the LA Rams are a better team. But for betting purposes, I do believe 4.5 is just a little bit too high. Because
I agree.
Because, like you said, if this game is open a little bit late and Joe Burrow has a shot, I fully expect him to use his offensive weapons to go out there, drive down the field, put some points on the board, and possibly win this football game. Betting-wise, I'm putting my money on the Bengals just because it's plus money. It makes no sense to fucking bet the Rams. I'm not going with the Rams on the betting side of it. So I'm going to be pulling for the Bengals. But I think the Rams win this because the Rams do have the defense that can match up perfectly against this offense. Trust me, I wouldn't be shocked to see Jamar Chase. You say Jamar Chase is going to be on the island. I wouldn't be shocked to have Jamar Chase is just running around on the fucking field, darting and shit, and Jalen don't know what to do. Jalen's really good in man.
Very good. I mean, it's not impossible to get burned. Mike Evans did get that nigga.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you have all three of them, Higgins, Boyd, and Jamar Chase, they're going to be some nice little formations and some nice routes that I think that they're going to be able to put together. But, you know, like I said, betting man, I'm going with the Bengals to cover, and I'm hoping the Bengals win because it's plus money. But, you know, football-wise, the Rams are the better team. And you know, the defense, the front four of the Rams really should ride them to this championship. I do want to throw this last little caveat out. Do you know who led the league in interceptions?
What, this season? Yeah, Trayvon Diggs.
No. Who? No. Passing interceptions.
Oh, you're talking about like quarterback?
Yes. It was one, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I was about to say
so I would not be shocked if Matthew Stafford, as we've been saying all postseason, if Matthew Stafford's away this game.
My Stafford agenda will not die until he's hoisting that Lombardi, and he has a good game. Then I'll put my Stafford agenda to rest. Until then, we still riding.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for joining us so much. Enjoy Super Bowl 56. Hope you're able to get some good food in you. We will be back to recap it next week. For Scott, you can follow him on Twitter at BarbershareScott. I'm Pierce. I'm at Cameron Santo at BarbershareNet on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. Like I said earlier in the show, go peep the latest 79th and Hallis's with the interviews with GM Ryan Poles, head coach Matt Eberflus.
And we got some dope offseason content coming for y'all. We gonna be dropping that starting the month of March, so look out for that.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get my computer to my MacBook together so we can get some top 25 content on the Patreon for you, patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. Baseball is not coming up soon, but we're gonna be back to talk baseball because like the itch is there.
I'm depressed about it, and
I don't care,
I'm really upset. Baseball.
No, do you want to hug it out? You want to hug it out, bitch? Let's hug it out.
I want baseball, man.
We'll hug it out, man. Yeah, man. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Have fun. Stay safe if you're going out and enjoying yourself on Sunday, man.
If you're in LA, man, tuck your chain in this weekend, bro.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely do not get caught up.
Don't get caught up
on the video board, man.
Don't get caught in the thing that a lot of people get caught up in when they live in LA, the false sense of security. The palm trees, it's 87 degrees out right now. I got both windows open.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You're doing a PSA for people that are out there.
Do not get your ass robbed because you think you just safe out here. Okay. This is where the nigga, it was Jack's season the last time they had the All-Star game about 3-4 years ago. So be careful, have fun. Remember, Inglewood, it's still Inglewood, my nigga. Okay. So let's be careful which streets you on.
Yeah, Lick City, man. Not stopping at your directions.
Niggas is getting their chains pulled out on Rodeo Drive. Obama Boulevard.
Obama Boulevard.
Yeah, they some of it depend on what side of the city it's Obama now. They changed it like a year ago. He is actually a street, depending on what part of the town you're in. But yeah, man. So all I'm saying is have fun, be safe. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be watching by myself because unlike majority of people, I still believe that the pandemic is around, and I'm gonna be watching this by myself, get drunk and eating, hopefully watch a good game. So yeah, y'all enjoy.
I'll be watching it by myself because I have to do a show for the first hour of the Super Bowl. That should be fun, and hopefully I can come home to some dip and some beer, and I can watch a wonderful halftime show.
Halftime show. Four
of my favorite rappers, and then Mary J. Blige.
One of my favorite singers.
One of my favorite R&B artists of all time, and honestly, probably everyone's favorite aunties.
And salute to Snoop, man. He just officially bought Death Row.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. The revival will be very interesting to witness, you know. All right, man, we're out of here. Enjoy Super Bowl 56. Take it easy.
Yes, sir.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.